We turn in our Bibles this morning to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. And the text that we focus on is verses 11 and 12. Hebrews 6. Let's read the chapter. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh of oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessings from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. We read that far in God's Word. The text that we focus on is verses 11 and 12. 11 and 12. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit promises. This morning we consider the godly desire of parents for themselves and for their children. Godly parents desire their children to grow up to be diligent men and women in the church, not slothful, but hardworking, industrious, faithful laborers in the kingdom of God and in their various callings. Godly parents desire that their children grow up to be diligent. Not only that, the second main part of this text is that they want their children to grow up being confident with a certain knowledge of their salvation. They want their children to grow up knowing without a doubt that they're not only beloved of their parents, but beloved of their Heavenly Father, sure to be brought to His home someday. That is the desire, that is the prayer of godly parents such as the ones that we saw stand up this morning. Inspired by the Holy Spirit, the writer speaks of his desire of the church that he writes to. We don't know the name of the writer of Hebrews, but this minister writes to a church made up mainly of Hebrews or Jews, hence the name of the book. And he speaks of his own godly desire. And notice what he says. We desire that every one of you, not a few of you, but every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. And the use of every one of you there is his emphasis upon all the different individuals in the church. He doesn't want the church generally to be known, to have a reputation of being diligent and of full assurance. But he wants the individuals now, the church, including the children also, grow up in the church to have this diligence unto assurance. Every one of you. And if that's the desire of an inspired writer of God and His Word, it's very proper then for parents and for all of us to have this desire of ourselves and of everyone, including the children. The writer of Hebrews noticed a laziness, a slothfulness in his day. And that's not hard for us to notice in our day and age either, in ourselves and in the Christian world. If you open your eyes, you will notice young and old do not engage in the diligence that they ought to. And to combat the spiritual laziness of Christians in his day, the writer of the book of Hebrews speaks out at the beginning of chapter 6 with some very strong exhortations. Those exhortations are almost frightening. In verses 1 through 3, you see the exhortation that the people of God ought to be diligent in understanding the doctrines of God's Word. And they are not to only understand the simple truths of God's Word that they were first introduced to when they came to faith, but they were to dig, they were to do the work of digging into the deep truths, the meat of the Scripture, so that they would grow in their understanding of God's Word. And then in verses 4 through 6, there comes a sharp warning to those who neglect to work at this learning and instead fall away from the faith. They go to the opposite direction. Instead of growing in faith, they turn away from the faith. They completely reject the teachings of God's Word. And those who do so, the writer of Hebrews says, cannot be renewed unto repentance. That's a warning to the individuals in the church of Jesus Christ who have grown up in the church and who have tasted the truths of God's Word. And then in verses 7 and 8, he warns those in the church who receive God's Word, but they don't do the work in showing forth fruits of God's work like plants in the church ought to. Judgment then will come upon those who are lazy in those good works. And after such sharp warnings, the writer then changes his tone. You notice that in verses 9 and 10. Before, in verses 1 through 8, he's been coming with pretty sharp warnings. But now in verses 9 and 10, he becomes an encouragement to the particular Jewish church that he's writing to. And to this particular congregation, he says, "But, beloved, we are persuaded of better things of you. We know that you as a congregation, this Jewish church, whichever one it is, we don't know, but you congregation, you are known to be hardworking. We are persuaded, we know for certainty that you are a congregation that is continuing to learn, that is not falling away and not filled with hypocrites that don't bring forth good works." Then he continues his encouragement in verse 10. "For God's not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love." And remember your faithfulness. God remembers your faithfulness also. And so continue in it. But then he wants to get very specific. The church as a whole is faithful. But now in our text, we don't just desire church to be faithful and diligent, but every one of you to show the same diligence. That's what we desire here at Cornerstone also. Not just Cornerstone to have the reputation of being a diligent church, active and zealous in the work of the Lord, but every one of you with the same diligence, adults, parents, and children also. Consider desiring diligence of everyone. Desiring diligence of everyone. First, the calling. Second, the reward. And finally, the desire. And the first question we have to answer this morning is, diligent in what? What are we called? The specific duties that we're called to be diligent in. There's all kinds of work that God gives us to do in this world. Some of you have work, children, in school. Some of you have work in a job. Some of you have work in the home. You have a lot of work, a lot of duties in life. And so, is God calling us here to be diligent in all of our work? Yes. Yes. But there's three specific duties, three specific kinds of work that we're all to engage in the same diligence. Those are the three kinds of same diligence we are to engage in. First, we are to be diligent in the work of growing in our faith. The work of growing in our faith. This is seen in verse 12. That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Faith. And this idea of growing in faith was also seen in the context in verses 1 and 2 when we talked about how the writer of Hebrews wanted the church to not just stick with the simple truths of God's Word, but to dig deeper in an understanding of the deep truths of God's Word. Because you see, faith is not just a feeling. It includes a feeling. But faith is knowledge. Faith is an understanding, including an intellectual understanding of God's Word. And each one of us, whether we're done with catechism or still in catechism, whether we are a child or of retired age, whether we're a toddler or a teenager, we're all, every one of us, to be engaged in this diligence of growing in our faith. None of us have reached the end. We haven't arrived in a perfect understanding of God's Word. But all of us are growing. We're all at different degrees, but we all have the same diligence to increase in our faith and our understanding. And yes, it takes work. It takes work. Diligence in this work to listen to our parents, children, and to our teachers so that we grow in our faith. To pay attention in church, to do our devotions. Hard work to read books, to read a book on integrity, young people. Difficult to grow in our faith, but diligence is called for. God's Word calls all of us to be diligent, and the particular application we look at today is that parents are to raise their children in this diligence. And the first way, of course, that parents can raise their children in this same diligence is by being diligent themselves. Because if they're not diligent themselves in all the callings, and especially the calling of growing in faith, then their children are not going to see that example to follow. And if parents aren't growing in their faith and being diligent in that, then parents won't have the kind of faith necessary to pass on to their children that they seek to instruct. So all of us grow in our faith. And then, as parents, we help our children grow in that faith also with diligence. Second, we are to be diligent in the labor of loving one another. That's explicit in verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward His name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. The writer of Hebrews, remember, is telling the congregation as a whole that you have done well in your labor of love. You have done well in ministering to one another, and you are continuing in your ministry to one another. But now I don't just want the congregation to have that reputation. Now every one of you go on in this same diligence of laboring in love for one another. Everyone is to be laboring to keep from sin. That's love. Keep from sinning against one another. to forgive one another. That's work. Forgiving, to forgive each other when there is sin. Everyone is to be a minister. Not just the minister of the congregation, but everyone is to be a minister. That's the end of verse 10. You've ministered to the saints and do minister. We're all to be ministers of the love of Christ. Not only negatively withholding sins against one another, but now pouring forth all kinds of gifts of love upon others, of hospitality, of your gifts of money. Be diligent in the ministering of one another. That word minister is the work of a slave. It means to think of the other better than yourself. And now as a slave or a servant, bringing forth all you can and love for others. We are to be diligent in that. And parents are to raise their children with this diligence. They are to see you labor in love for one another, especially for others in the church. And they are to get in the habit with you as parents. Be lovers. Lovers of God's people. Thirdly, we're all to be diligent in the work of worship. Not only in the growth of faith, not only in the labor of love, but now in the work of worship. This is the work which God is most pleased in. It's the work of worship of His name. That's shown in verse 10 with the phrase, which ye have showed toward His name. Which ye have showed toward His name. God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which ye have showed toward His name. That means unto the glory of His name. This is the same diligence we're supposed to have. All of us are to bring forth these acts of love to one another that we just talked about. It's labor of love, but not just for our neighbor. It's all toward the glory of God's name. That's what we're seeking. That's our goal. That's our aim. And parents, you need to make sure your children notice that in your life. That you're not simply loving one another because you want to get something out of it. Out of selfish motivations. Not merely because they're family members or because you have to in the church. Because you just assign that duty of labor of love in the committee in the church. But your children need to see you working hard, laboring in love because you have as your aim, your goal in life, this desire to glorify your God and your Savior. When they see you do that, when they hear you speak of that desire of yours, and they too join in their diligent work with you to engage in their work for the glory of God's name. But a particular application is this. The work of worship is not only in every part of our lives, but it's right here. Here among God's people. Do you serve? Well, first, you serve in worship services. Parents, you need to bring your children to worship services. Those children need to see you worship God with sincerity and with focus. They need to hear you worship God. They need to hear it in your voice that you're sincere. And you need to train them to focus in on every part of worship so that you instill in them this desire to worship God in every part of your life and especially in His house with all the saints. With our children, we are to be diligent in the growth of our faith, in the labor of our love, and in the work of our worship. Notice briefly five characteristics of this diligence. This work, this diligence is five characteristics that the text brings out. Start with the most obvious. Diligence means hard work. You know that if I call you to be diligent in work, that means go to work and work hard. Press on. It means putting forth as much effort as possible to do the best of your ability at everything that you do. All of us are to work hard at growing in faith, loving our neighbor, and worshiping God. And each of these duties are not easy. There's much to improve. So you do the work. You get rid of the bad habits and laziness. And you seek to work hard. Secondly, this diligence means with speed. With speed or quickly. Part of the meaning of diligence is not only working hard, but is also working with speed. That idea comes also from the word slothful that's in the text. That word slothful means to move slowly or to move sluggishly. Of course, there's such a thing as working too fast so that you work sloppily and you don't do the work that God has given to you properly. That's the opposite of diligence. With the good quality of work, you work with speed to do it quickly. And you could apply that in many ways, but I focus your intention in this application. That means be speedy or quick to get started in the work. All of us have days to illustrate in which we know we have a lot of work to do, homework to do, chores to do, things to do at work and the job. And we delay in getting started on the work because we don't feel like doing it. It seems overwhelming or for various other reasons. We let it hang over our heads and we procrastinate. That's a lot of our natures. And God's Word calls us to be quick, to be speedy, to get to the work, to be diligent means to be quick to start that work. And as parents, we need to instill that into our children. Thirdly, this diligence is to be seen outwardly. That's the third characteristic of this diligence that comes out in the text. Not only hard work, not only speed or quick to get to it, but outwardly show it. We desire, the text says, that every one of you do show the same diligence. It doesn't mean show off that diligence so that you seek to work in front of other people, trying to get their praise. That's seeking the praise of men, the opposite of seeking the glory of God. But it does mean that without your intentions to show off, others do see your good works. Your children do see your good works. As they see your good works, and they follow you in that outward actions of love. Some think they can work and they say, oh, I'm working hard, and if you just look at my heart, you will see the sweat and the suffering that my heart is enduring as I work really hard in my heart to grow in love and faith and worship. And yes, there needs to be that. But that heart's work is going to show forth an outward fruit. Fourth, this diligence is long-suffering. The phrase at the end of verse 11 says, unto the end, unto the end. Everyone is supposed to show diligence unto the end. It means unto the end of your life. Never stop. You might retire from your job, but you never retire from this work of laboring in love, of growing in faith, and of seeking to work at worshiping Him. Finally, this diligence is to be an imitated diligence. A diligence that we are to see and notice in others. Children are to see and notice that diligence in their parents. Because sometimes parents might work really hard and be diligent in all these different areas and children just don't notice it. They take it for granted and don't follow the example. Or to notice the diligence in our parents. Or to notice the diligence of fellow saints in the church. Or to notice the diligence of saints in the Scriptures. And we're called to be imitators of that diligence. Followers, that ye be not slothful, but, verse 12, followers, or literally imitators of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. We're called, all of us, every one of us, to be diligent in our growth of faith, in our labor of love, in our work of worship. We're to do all this with hard work, quick or speedy, with outward show of it, long-suffering unto the end, and finally, as imitators of those who we see being diligent. And the reward of God's people and their children is a precious, precious reward. Full assurance of hope. That's how verse 11 speaks of the reward. We desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to or unto the full assurance of hope. Assurance of salvation. That's what diligence and all these good works lead to. Assurance unto salvation. No, it's true that our diligence and our children's diligence do not earn our salvation. Obviously not. The sign of baptism today shows us that very explicitly. Water upon a child, water upon an infant even, signifies that without the work of a child, without any of our works, Christ saves us. Christ washes us of all our sins. So it's not because of our works that we are saved. It's by grace alone, through Christ alone. But the assurance of that salvation, the certainty that Christ has washed us, the certain knowledge that we will go to heaven, that comes in the way of our diligence. It is as you live individually by grace, as diligent people, that you gain. And God blesses you and rewards you with this assurance. It is as you are diligent that you can, as individuals, think back to the day on which you were baptized. Baptism today is not just a point to William Henry's baptism, but it's a point to your baptism. It is in the way of your diligent life that you can look back on your baptism and remember, Jesus has washed me. I am cleansed. I am free from all of my sin. And I am in the covenant of God, full of His favor, and to inherit eternal life. But no, if you're not diligent, if you're not working hard to the degree that you are lazy, to that degree, yes, then you will have a lack of assurance. That's not just what this text teaches. It's 2 Peter 1 verse 5 too. 2 Peter 1 verse 5 says, and beside this, give all diligence, the same words used in our text. Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, meaning to your faith good works, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience or long suffering. And to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things, meaning lacks in this diligence, is blind. He cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. So those who are not diligent, those who are lazy, who are slothful, 2 Peter says that they will be blinded. They may be washed of their sins, but they won't be able to see and remember their baptism of being washed in their sins. In the way of our diligence, then we receive this remembrance and this assurance. What an awful, awful way to live life, people of God, if you're lacking in this diligence and then in this assurance. Awful, awful way, I say. A grievous way, terrible, terrifying way, not to be assured of your salvation. It ought not be. Don't live that way if you are. Turn, repent of your laziness and the godly life, and seek that assurance that God gives in the way of diligence. No, Protestant Reformed young person, no, young adult. Your assurance does not come from being merely an outward member of a certain church or denomination. It doesn't. This is actually a big point of the passage. Don't presume upon your own salvation because you have your papers in a certain Reformed church. Verses 9 and 10, Paul is talking about, the writer of Hebrews, is talking about how diligence is true of this particular church, this congregation, and he's encouraging them. But in our text, he's saying, I don't want it just to be of a congregation, but every one of you individually need to show forth this diligence. Not mom, not dad, not your elder in church, but you individually show forth this diligence. And only in that way do you personally get this assurance. And with our children, we are supposed to live with this assurance. Christian man and woman or child sometimes lives without this assurance because of a lack of diligence and a continuing sin. And then the call is to repent. But dear child of God, if you are repentant of your sin, If you're struggling, not perfect, but struggling to be diligent in your work of worshiping God, in your growth and your faith, in your labor of love for one another, do not doubt your salvation. This is what Christ intends for us to have, every one of us to have in the way of our diligence. There is a grievous error that is taught in churches today, which make diligent men and diligent women doubt they are saved. And I say it is grievous not because it is an attack upon these churches, but it's grievous because it is grieving to me and to those who are made to doubt their salvation. What an awful, awful way for a child of God to have to live his life. It is not biblical that every single Christian must have an experience, a special experience to be assured of their salvation. But the norm that this text, this Word of God shows us, the normal way of assurance and salvation is in the way of a diligent Christian life. And that child of God walking in that repenting, diligent Christian life ought have no reason to doubt and be fully confirmed in his heart or her heart for his salvation. What is the emphasis on assurance here? Diligence unto a full assurance of hope. He's almost redundant. The Spirit could have inspired the writer simply to write hope. We desire that every one of you do show the same diligence unto hope. And the word hope itself implies certainty. Certainty of salvation. Hope, as defined, is essentially a certain knowledge of God's future blessing of you. It doesn't just say hope. Assurance of hope. Diligence unto this assurance of hope. To bring out the certainty of this hope. But not just the assurance of hope, but the full assurance of hope. Be diligent so that you fill up your heart with this assurance of hope. Oh, in your labor of love, in your growth in faith, and your worship of God, may God by His Spirit give you that assurance. And may God by His Spirit give to your children that assurance that they need, that they must live with as they grow up diligent in the faith. What makes us so sure is that there are many examples in the God's Word that show us those who are diligent receive salvation. The text points that out. In verse 12, that ye be not slothful, but followers, as imitators of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Many men, many women in the Scriptures have lived lives of diligence. Not perfect, they're sinners, like Abraham, but lives of diligence. And when you read about them in the Scriptures, you know, these men, these women, as they lived lives of diligence, their life didn't end in hell. Their lives ended with a continuation of life in heaven. The verse following talks about Abraham being given the promises so that in the way of his living a Christian, diligent life, he inherits the promises of life eternal. We're not saved by our works. As we look at the examples of Scripture, it is the diligent men and women who inherit heaven. Parents, your diligence in raising your children, your diligence in bringing them up to be diligent, that confirms to you as parents that you are a child of God. Not only that, your diligence in raising your children helps them with their assurance. Because in the way of you training them up in that diligence, they become diligent too. And then they have great assurance with you. And for such children and for such parents, baptism today is a joyous confirmation, then, of being saved by grace. This is our desire and this is our prayer. It's our desire for everyone everyone in the church, even the children. It's not just a want. It's a desire that involves the heart of intense passions. That word desire is an interesting word in the original. Often it refers to a negative sort of desire, like a lusting or a coveting. That's not the kind of desires we should have, but it implies a craving, a longing, a passionate desire, the godly desire, the godly passion that we have is that we, with our children, grow in faith, labor in love, and worship God. Pray earnestly for this. Whose desire is this? Yes, it's parents. It's all of ours. What we have in the text is a minister writing to a church, expressing his desire. As a minister, he desires and he prays that the congregation, not just as a whole, but individually, every one of you, become diligent. And that's the desire of the minister here too. Every one of you, be diligent. Remember who's behind the minister in this text. Who's behind the writer of Hebrews. Though we don't know the name of the writer, we know the one who inspired this writer. Jesus Himself, by His Spirit. And Jesus Himself, by His Spirit, with passionate desires more earnest than we could ever have, desires that every one of you, every one of His people, diligent. Diligent in your work. And that you have assurance of your salvation. And people of God, this is the gospel. If Jesus Christ desires and prays as our high priest in heaven for this, then of His people, it will surely, absolutely certainly will come to pass. May the prayer of godly parents today then also be the prayer of Jesus Christ Himself. Amen. Let's pray. Father, grant to us and our children grace to be diligent. Fill us with assurance thereby, and give us great thankfulness and joy through Thy salvation, a gracious salvation of us. In Jesus' name, amen.